Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure if I'm being heard, but I am trying to speak through all of Well, I'm not exactly sure if we're being heard on the broadcast or not. There seems to be a lot of audio discrepancy. But if I am being heard, Yahweh bless you, Brother Sia. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. My line was cut off for a minute. My line was cut off just for a second to answer a question, but I think I'm back on airways as we speak.
Hallelujah, Kwa. And that is very true. You are back on airways. And it appears that I'm back on airways, too.
Great thing, and we'll leave that just like it is. And Elder, so we did say we had to say, but the Latter-day Saints did interrupt my microphone from as soon as I came on the network. So I tell you what, all we know, the slots is filled, and we did make a statement that the Latter-day Saints made a final statement, said ever since we have came on the network, this ministry have doubled in numbers, but only we know about the numbers, you don't. So we're not worrying about none of that. We're just going to let you know, bring this broadcast, and we'll get something going on. And we got the other elder on. We'll be ready to go. Elder Yagdai Israel, so we're going to be ready to take care of some Yahweh business at time appointed. So what do you got to say, Elder? You on the clock. Take your time. Nice and orderly. They all listening. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. You know, Satan has his hand busy in almost every industry that wants to bring the right thing to people. And in this ministry, we bring the word of Yahweh as it's written. Myself, I really don't see a problem with it. But you know, if I look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, let's see what it says about what the Yahweh of this world did. Verse number 4 says, in whose case the Yahweh of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Yahweh the Son, who is in the image of Yahweh. Well, this tells us quite a bit listening to that one verse. But you know, once we grab the Bible and start reading, you know, it's mentioned in more than one place. The warnings of this evil, disobedient Satan. In St. John chapter 12, verse 31, let's see what that says. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And we just got through reading who the ruler of that world was, this world, and 2 Corinthians 4:4. We move up to St. John chapter 14, verse 30. It says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But as long as we keep Yahweh in us, and we keep word up in Yahweh, he's not going to have anything in us. And there's even several more verses that I could go through. But this last one I will mention is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. 2 says, and which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And we got a lot of sons and daughters out there in the world that are disobedient unto Yahweh. And true enough, he does use them as his servants, because they make good servants and they recruit more. But in this broadcast, recruiting the members to hear the words of Yahuwah. Because we know we all came to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. But in this ministry, we make all this misunderstanding very possible. Many came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching. Some looking can never find. And it's the misinformed that can do none of these things. This is why I say the words of Yahuwah that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Because in this ministry, we are taught about the scriptures and the Bible precepts. That gives us the knowledge to know that those out there, they camouflage their evil or confused teaching and using overly loud bump-the-gums contests for their righteous learning. Yeah, when you run into those people that are speaking loud, you don't even want to contest them. So they try to turn the scriptures back to us as verbal puppets. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of this sort of misunderstanding and bad teaching. And welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. It comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Connecting the books, your health, and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This is information that you came to seek. And now you have to look no further. You found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. In the days, it's Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday, unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class is 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. On any one of your smart devices, to get there, just enter tribeyada.com. And after click enter, just under Big Iron, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, all you tributes of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30. And also, once again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar is there to help keep you, your family, and friends, including myself, in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking, look for Voices of the True Israelites. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. And by the way, those that have trouble calling our 319 number, which I'll get to in just a minute, you can also get on the live program on your cell phone via the internet, your tablet, or computer using Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, just look for the red live button, and you'll be right in the live broadcast just like the cell phone. We also have two email addresses. The first is tribe, tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. And if you can't reach us with that, you can still get us by using Yahuwah Radio Live, as I had previously mentioned. The other number is 224-600-5579. This would be our international phone number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by anyone with six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what we have known today as our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD, any particular 12 programs of your choice on DVD. Just make sure you give us the right name and the right address, and you will receive that promptly after calling that number. Also, on another note, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos. In addition to that now, even the Latter-day Saints. Unbelievable. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Broad Talk broadcast, Yahuwah's story will continue on Palatal. Listed under ethnic group, African American, just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. And online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pound Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we're in an international broadcast. We have to know that Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, as it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. So when you're trying to win a bump the gums contest, what you miss is all of the Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you, because we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah. So at this time, we will turn our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, yo, that's excellent. Hallelujah, Yahuwah on that. And we're just going to get off into the broadcast. We've got all these memos on the table and everything going on. We're just going to get off in the broadcast and see which way it's going. And we're going to look for another elder, Yahdai Israel, C. Ryan, Tribe of Yahdai Judah, the lead teacher out of Cameroon. We're going to see if he can step on up and we'll get something going on. And so the both seers will be riding in this lesson on take number 85. So when you meet the elder out of Cameroon with a loud voice, you say, Elder Yahdai Israel, Tribe of Yahdai Judah. Yahuwah bless you, I see you right here.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel. I see you royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahuwah, Elder. That's excellent on your part. We're just going to get something going on. I mean, you know, like I said again, we knew these days was coming. These days is on the table right now. So we're not going to, we're just going to see what we can get going on. So let's see, can you take a look at what that Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say. You on the clock there, Elmer, come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. Because in the book of Sirach there, Elder, what it says that we can read in the book 10 verse 12. What it says we can read there? Sirach chapter 10 verse 12. What can we read out of that verse there? Come on.
The book of Sirach chapter 10 verse number 12 reads, Sirach chapter 10 verse 12. The beginning of pride is when one departed from Yahweh. And his mind is turned away from his maker.
You see, so that's the beginning of pride. When you let personal get in the way of Yahweh's business. Matter of fact, back up to verse 7, and let's see what verse 7 says behind that. See, you have to watch this. Especially the elders got to watch. You got to watch when that pride spirit start raising their head up, when they nodded, they got a couple of verses up on their belt, and the pride start raising their heads up. What it says we can read in that same book of Sirach, verse 7. What it say, Elder?
The book of Sirach, chapter 10, verse number 7. Pride is hateful before Yahweh and man, and by both the one commit sin.
And when you got that prideful spirit, you just open the door for what word you just got to read, Elder?
Sin.
Sin. See, when you got that, otherwise you don't want to be in order, you just open the door for sin. Let's see if I'm on that in the Sirach chapter 18, verse 10. Let's look at 18, verse 10. And it's very important to understand something because the Latter-day Saints made a final statement. They said, "Seer, you know, since we've been on the airways, the numbers have increased behind the black line that you can't see, but we can." I said, "Yeah, but why do you think the ministry on double because you on it? Pride, see, will you?" So we're going to take a look at that, a little bit of that, but we got to get on the real deal in a minute. But what it says in 18, verse 10.
The book of Sirach, chapter 18, verse number 10 reads, "As a drop of water unto the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand, so are 1,000 years to the day of eternity."
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to blow that all the way big time. We ain't going to even worry about it. But what I want to do, I want to go final statement that in the 30th chapter, because Jacob, when his name was not changed yet, you know, he said something in that same line to Laman. And I want to see what he says in the 30th chapter of Genesis, verse 27 down to verse 31. Let's see what he says that we can read, J. Odom. In Genesis 30, 27 to 31, what it say?
The book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse number 27 to 31 reads. Book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse number 27 reads. Genesis 30, verse number 27. "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that Yahweh has blessed me for your sake." Verse 28, he said, "Appoint me your wages, and I will give it." Verse 29, he said unto him, "I know how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me." Verse 30, "For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. Yahweh has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own family also?"
Mm-hmm. So did you hear the man saying? See, a lot of, you know how can we say this? See, I don't know what to say behind a statement like this, but in verse 27, he says something here. He acknowledged that I have learned by experience that the four-letter man have blessed me for God's sake. See, because you see, I'm telling you something. The Six Anointed Camp, we putting this station on the map all over the known world. You know, this was just a regular, and now this station is known everywhere now. So, you know, but to make my blanket statement like that, you know, they just, what did Jacob say again in verse number 30? What did Jacob say?
The book of Genesis 30, verse number 30. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And I quite bless you since my coming, and that way shall I provide for my own family also.
That's right. See, our presence, the Six Anointed Camps on this radio station, this artist radio station have now it been a blessing by the Six Anointed Camps coming. See, you got it the other way around because you based without the Six Anointed Camps. But that's why we say we know it's time for us to land school banquet hall on our own radio station. Because we clear that all of the manipulation that goes on behind the scenes. You know, on the left side, those that participate in the broadcast, you hijack them before they come in the room, or you snap their telephones down where they can't, you know, you do everything contrary. You know, we see right through you. But we clear what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:11. What does it say there, yo? 2 Corinthians 2:11.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Verse number 11 reads, "Be Satan to get an advantage of us, but we are not ignorant of his devices."
We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And we know in 1 Maccabees 3:45, can you help me? I just want to read a little bit, throw some on the table. I said, we're not ignorant of this. In 1 Maccabees chapter 3, verse 45 down to verse 48. Let's take a look at that. Elder, we take a little peep at that. And 1 Maccabees chapter 3, verse 45 to 48. What that say?
The book of 1 Maccabees chapter 3, verse number 45 to 48 reads. Book of 1 Maccabees chapter 3. 1 Maccabees chapter 3, verse number 45 to 48 reads. Verse 45. Now Yahdah of Judah, including where Jerusalem, lay void as a wilderness. There was none of her family that went in or out. The temple also was trodden down, and aliens kept a stronghold. The heathen nations had their habitations in that place, and joy was taken from Israel, and the pipe with the harp ceased. Verse 46. Before the Israelites assembled themselves together and came to Mizpah over against Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, where Mizpah was the place where they prayed aforetime in Israel. Verse 47, then they fasted that day, put on sackcloth, cast ashes upon their heads, and rent their clothes. Verse 48, and laid open the book of the Torah instructions, wherein the five sons of Esau, heathens, and sought to paint the likeness of their images.
So once the other nations, the heathens, in this case, come out Esau and his five sons, once they got a hold to, had on, you know, bogart you out from your worship place and everything else, then they stretched out to see that that thing started working in their days, they taking your books and paint the likeness of themselves. See, so they looking right at you, and then they paint the likeness of themselves. Do you know what they say behind that? What they say in Maccabees 1:41. And look what they said. After they paint the likeness of themselves in your book, and those that go right now, when they came to the temple site, they seen somebody with a mindset or somebody look like somebody else. So they paint the likeness of themselves. Now, we go on to 1:41 in the book of Maccabees and see what happened next that we can read. 1:41, let's read a little bit and see what got there.
Book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 41 reads, at that time, therefore, they decreed, saying, whosoever shall come to make battle with us on the Sabbath day, we will fight against them. Neither will we die all as our brethren that were murdered in the secret places.
Mm-hmm. Is that a 1 Maccabees 1:41? If it is, read a little bit more, because I want to get what, when they had made that move, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more out of that. Come on.
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 41 reads, Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
Okay, good. See that? So now, now they want all to be one people. After you paint the likeness of yourself, now you want all to be one people. Now, and in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, and what else got to happen? And what else got? Now, see, we kind of paint the picture because, see, you know, our peoples haven't heard the painting of a picture. See, we have to be able to show soundly where we at. But so far what we got on the table now, we find out that it was a people that taking your books and paint the likeness of themselves in there after they untuck over your book. Then they'll paint the likeness of themselves. Now, then once that's all established, then you tell the people from that point on, we all got to be one people. Just like right now, you know, in the United States, you know, we all one nation, individual up under God, one nation. So that's why they get that from being one nation. But the stipulation of being one nation is 2 Maccabees 6:6 down to verse 9. Watch the stipulation of being one nation that we can read. What it says in 2 Maccabees, is that what I want? Chapter 6:6 down to verse 9. Is I'm on the right track, Elder?
Yes, sir.
All right, come on.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse number 6 to 9 reads, Book of 2 Maccabees 6, verse number 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to profess themselves at all to be of Yahgar Judah, Israel, verse number 7. In the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice. And where the feast of Bacchus was kept, Yahgar Judah, southern kingdom, failed to go in procession to Bacchus, carrying ivory. Verse number 8. Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighboring cities of the five sons of Esau, nations, by the suggestion of Ptolemy against Yahgar Judah, that they should observe the same fashion and be partakers of their sacrifice. Verse number 9, whosoever would not conform themselves to the manner of the five sons of Esau, Gentiles, should be put to death. Then might a man and woman have seen the present misery.
So that's when it was introduced about celebrating birthdays and putting down your Sabbath day. And it was clear when your Sabbath day was to their Sabbath day, which is Sunday, first day of the week. Clear they was on record that you had, you knew the order according to the Bible in the 28th chapter, verse 1. See, you knew these things, but you have to be brought back to it. And that's why we come on this broadcast to soundly have you to rethink what you're doing. Let's see what it says in 28 verse 1 of the book of Matthew, Dale. 28 verse 1 says what?
Book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse number 1 reads, Matthew 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week.
Excellent. Now look at that. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week is Sunday. So now you ain't got but 7 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So as the 7 day was blending out, it go back to the first day. So the first day is Sunday, see, right? So it's written in your Bible, the Sabbath day is when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. And then it's right there written in color, 28th chapter, verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it gets to dawn toward the first day of the week. First day of the week is Sunday, see, right? See, Christianity is opposite of the Bible. Christianity teach you to go contrary to the Bible. So if you are Christian or Christ-like, that is Christianity. And as long as you are up on the Christianity, you will never see what this Bible is offering you, the peoples of the book, up under the banner of Christianity. Because Christianity church day is as it the first day of the week. The Bible Sabbath day is when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. So we is contrary to what this Bible got to offer us. And look how then our loved ones have that mindset. So keep that in your mind, that's why we come humble to break down some things before you. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's look and see what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 44, and 45. We're going to look at something that's written in Deuteronomy out of the heavenly tablets called the first five books. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, 2. And skip down to verse 44 and 45. Let's see what that says.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse number 1, 2, verse number 44, and verse 45 reads. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh of your fathers giveth you. Verse number 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh your Yahweh, which I command you. Verse number 44, this is the Torah instructions which Moses set before the family of Israel. Verse 45, these are the covenant and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the family of Israel after they came out of Mizraim, polluted word Egypt.
Yeah. So these laws, these statutes and judgments was given to a people to keep the Torah instruction. So this is what was given to the children of Israel. It was nothing given to the Christian or the other nation. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. So it's no debate to be in once you read the rules and regulation. it was nothing given to the other nation concerning his business. So you have no debate with another nation. All we got to do is read what the Bible tells us to do and not to do. Let's run to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let's run to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and pick up verse 12. Let's read a little bit and see what we can get. See what we can get out of this. Now Paul have cornered the young lions together, Timothy and Titus. He got them all hemmed up now. So now he want to go eyeball to eyeball with them. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let's see what it says. Let's see what's going on here.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 12 reads, "Let no man despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in the covenant, in purity."
All right.
Verse number 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine."
He said, listen, don't let nobody despise your youth. And that's why we got them young lions and then boys over to his life, and the elders got them up under their wings to try to get them on their feet the right way. So we got to get them on their feet the right way. So don't let them despise your youth, but continue in reading. That's the key. You gotta have your notepad and your pen and continue in reading to get in this position. So that's what we pass on to the young lions. You got to continue in reading. Have a pad and pencil and write some of this good stuff down. And then, because if you do the right thing, you got it written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 17 through 18. Let's see what we can read. And 2 Corinthians, verse number 7. Then we'll skip down to verse 17, 18. We're trying to lay a little groundwork down because Yahweh is making it plain. Once you're in order, you will be shown the next move. And the ministry I'm going to be dealing with is the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. But they got to be in order. That's why the young lions got to be led the right way, and the elders got to make sure you watch them carefully to make sure if they stumble, we can pick you up right now. But you got to have your pad, your pen, and your paper and take notes and make sure you stay into reading what is said to you. Because when the time appointed comes, we want the young lions to be able to run down and take care of some business, and we want to run back and watch them go. Let's see what happened in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Skip down to verse 17, 18.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 17
yes,
and
sir.
18.
Yes, sir. Sound great to me.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, verse number 7 through and 18 reads, look up 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. "For we walk by the covenant, faith, not by sight." Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man or woman be in Yahweh the Son, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18. "And all things are of Yahweh, who have reconciled us to himself by Yahweh the Son, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation."
Mm-hmm. He gave us the ministry of this, of reconciliation. That means that we can come back, but we got to come back in order. Let's get one more day. We're going to bring our Elmer Tibbs in and wet his beak a little bit on a couple of these sisters there, our elders. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 and 24. Let's see what we can get going on. Let's see what he's saying in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 and 24.
The book of Ephesians 4,
verse 21, and verse number 24 reads, Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yahweh the Son, verse 24, that you put on the new man or woman, which after Yahweh the Son is created in righteousness and true righteousness.
Excellent. So we got to put on the new man, the new woman, and that is truth in the four-letter man. The true knowledge and the wisdom and understanding is the true knowledge in the four-letter man. Now, Elder Mr. Taylor, let's see, can we find out what is we talking about? Let's get a couple in. And let's see what we got here, Mr. Tibbs. Let's see what it says in Romans chapter 3, 3 and 4. Romans chapter 3, 3 and verse 4. Elder Mr. Tibbs, what does that say in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, 3 and 4? What does it say? Romans chapter 3, verse 3, 3 and 4. What's it saying? Latter-day Saints. We gonna mute. We want you to continue, or we gonna catch you in something. Ain't that something? Elder Yagdala, we gotta get back. And let's see. Let's come back in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, 3 and 4. So Elder Steele will be muted out of the broadcast for temporarily.
The book of Romans.
Romans chapter 3, verse 3, 3, and 4. What does it say?
The book of Romans chapter 3, verse number 3, and verse number 4 reads, Romans chapter 3, verse number 3. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the covenant of Yahweh without effect? Verse number 4, Yahweh forbid, yea, that Yahweh be true, but every man and woman a liar, as it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when you are judged.
Wait a minute, that's a big verse that you put on the table there. Elder, you put a big verse on the table in verse 4. You mean Paul was quoting, he's talking to northern kingdom that's scattered, Yahweh too. He made a profound statement to them. He said something in verse 4 that he just laid the groundwork on something in verse 4. Let's read that again and see what groundwork he laid. He just dropped down in the book of Romans. He said something in verse 4. Let's read one more time and let's see what's going on. Verse 4 again. 3, 4.
The book of Romans chapter 3, verse number 4 reads, Yahweh forbid, yea, that Yahweh be true, but every man and woman a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged.
So Paul is talking about something was written. See, Paul was quoting as it was written. See, and see, by not you understanding the teaching of Paul, think Paul brought a new thing to the table, and Paul just let you know what I'm talking about is what's written. So something is written that Paul talking about, and we're going to investigate it by going to Acts 12 and leave all of the buzzwords in there, Easter, church, and everything. Leave all the words in there because something is written that we're going to examine something in the 12th chapter there, Elder. So I need to have all the words that got in there to see if them words written, because Paul is telling northern and the scatter, Yahweh, that all is in Rome something, about something that's written. But I want to go to the 12th chapter and hear all the words called Jew, church, and Easter. I need all them words in 12, 1, 2, 3, 4 to get something going on. You're on the clock tomorrow.
The book of Acts chapter 12, verse number 1 through 4 reads,
Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now after that Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Verse 2. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse number 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse number 4. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartermains of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Ain't that something? Look at that. Look at all of what we got in here. Now we got Easter there. We got Easter in the fourth chapter. We got the Jews in the third chapter. And we got unleavened bread in the third chapter. And we got the church in the first chapter. Church, Jew, unleavened bread, and Easter. Now, Apostle Paul said, wait a minute now. He said, I'm talking to y'all about what's written. Now, all these four words, I wonder where is these four words is written that we just got through here. Easter, unleavened bread, the Jew, the church. See, that's why we know that a ministry got to come that is 2 Corinthians 6 verse 9. They got to have some 2 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Remember we read over in the 30th chapter, we read over there in the 30th chapter saying, no, after we got here, that's when everything got to the liking. So in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 9, what did it say there?
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse number 9 reads, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 9, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, and not killed.
You see that? See, as unknown, but we is known. Physically, we haven't made our moves yet, but we are known through the scriptures. But we are known through the presence. Because one thing about it, the voice of the true Israelite is known all over the known world. Voice of the true Israelite. But we are known and bodily at the time appointed. But we will as we lay the foundation down. So we're gonna examine all four of them words, but we're gonna pick our time to do so. But what we're gonna go back and go, Paul says, as it is written. Now what is written? Pertaining to what is written that we can read, we're going back to Exodus chapter 12, because they knew that Paul was telling them as it is written. See, Yahweh's business is already laid out. You ain't got to do no thinking. You got to continue in reading, studying, and following anointed leadership. Now we're going to find out what's written that we can work with that would tie in to put the suspect on that 12th chapter with them four words that we did see. We're going to Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 down to verse 28. Now remember, all four of them words must be somewhere that we can read. Let's find out. Exodus 12, 21 down to verse 28 says what?
Book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 21 through 28 reads, Exodus 12, verse number 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. Verse 22. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin.
none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Verse 23, for Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, blew the word from Mizraim. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your family to smite you. Verse 24, you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your family, sons forever. Verse 25, it shall come to pass when you become to the land, which Yahweh give you according to as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your family shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? Verse 27, and you shall say, it is a sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, the Passover of the family of the children of Israel, in Mizraim, polluted word Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our families, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. Verse 28, and the family of Israel went away, did as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they.
Mm-hmm. Now you see, now what's going on there? Now he could do some business, so he told them, look, stay in your houses and do your Passover thing. Put the blood over the door. He said, y'all stay here because I'm going to do some damage outside, you know, and I'm going to do a little damage. What do you mean by he's going to do a little damage? Let's go to the 13th chapter, verse 1, 14 and 15 of the book of Isaiah. Now he said, I'm getting ready to do me a little damage, so I want y'all to stay still, you know, and, you know, do what you got to do for this Passover. I'm going to pass over you if you believe what I'm saying, because if you step out, I'm going to put some damage on you. So now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 1, then skip down to verse 14 and 15. Listen good at what we're getting ready to read. What are we reading there, Elder?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse number 1, verse number 14, and verse 15 reads, the book of Isaiah chapter 13, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 13, verse number 1 reads, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the seer, the son of Amos, did see. Verse number 14.
Well, hold on, Elder. Give me verse 2, because I need a word. I need a word. I'm looking for a word. Pick up verse 2, because I need a word to make a little note on. 13, verse 2.
Isaiah 13, verse number 2 reads, lift you up a banner upon the high mountains, and out the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles.
Excellent. That's the word I want. See, now they're going to go in the gates of the nobles. Now, keep that in your mind. And verse 2, they're going to go into the gates of the nobles. So it's a prophecy in Isaiah. They'll know that somebody is going to go in the gates of the nobles. Keep that in your mind. I'll make a note of that. Excellent. Now skip down to verse 14 and 15. Now let's see what he says in verse 14 and verse 15.
Isaiah 13, verse number 14. There shall be as a chaste rope and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, flee every one into his own land. Verse 15, everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do to your loved one that's connected to your hip in verse 16?
Verse number 16, their family, also children, also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished.
Excellent. So you see when he give rules and regulations, supposed to obey his voice on what he's saying. So he told them as he instituted the Passover what to do if they follow that, but if they come running up out of their houses, then you gonna get the punishment that he getting ready to execute on the sons of Ham, just like they gonna get it. So when we violate what he say and listen to what others say, and the scriptures don't verify with it, you're putting yourself in risk of some serious damage to come. And that's why we come on these ministries, is to forewarn the people that got an ear to hear the order of Yahweh. So you got it? Good. Now, so now he told them, now listen, what I'm going to do. If they ran out their houses, then that means they were joint onto the sons of Ham. And as he was executing judgment on the sons of Ham, he would execute judgment on you. Got it? Good. Let's get a precept on that. Because when he tell you something, you know, he already got the foresight on what he's trying to tell you. So in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus there, Elder, we're going to the 16th chapter of Exodus, and we're going to try to paint this picture. See, when Yahweh tell us something, he paints the picture. It's up to you to hear what he's saying. Now, we're going to pick it up in Exodus chapter 16, pick up at verse 19 down. We just read 19 down to 2 and 3. And we'll skip down to 19 to 2 and 3 and verse 30. That's good enough. Exodus chapter 16, verse 19 to 2 and 3 and verse number, yeah, make it 29. Make it 29 and 30. Yeah, 29 and 30. That's my final verdict, Elder. You on the clock, come on.
Exodus chapter 16, verse number 19 to 23. Verse number 29 to 30 reads, Exodus 16, verse number 19. And Moses said, let no man leave a bit till the morning. Verse 20. Notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to their eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Verse 22. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, to two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Verse 23. He said unto them, this is that which Yahweh said, tomorrow is the rest of the righteous Sabbath unto Yahweh. Make that which you will bake today, see that you will see, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Verse 29. See, for Yahweh have given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place, that no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Verse 30. So the people rested on the seventh day.
Yeah. Now we got two verses that turn into the Passover, and we got a verse that turn to how they did the Passover when it was first instituted. They done the Passover. If you look at it, if you come out your house now, you are going to be destroyed. And we got the verse. And see, this is where the nation's going to hijack you. They're going to deliver you up, and they're going to teach. And they're going to be the teachers to you. And then you're not going to be able to come out money, because they're going to read them verses right there. Now that was a broad brush. That was a brush telling you about how you do the Passover. You stay in your house. And how you do the Saturday, you stay in your house. See? And now they're going to go And they're going to jump you like the big dignitaries tried to, pull it off on no fear. But, you know, but see, we are prepared to be able to let the best bump the guns because of, if it's right, we're always going to agree with something if it's right. Because one thing about it, you can't go against the scripture. See? And that's why we read earlier about how they paint the likeness of themselves. Then they told you, now let's be one people. Now, the way things look right now, it looked like that what we just got through reading, the Passover, you stay in your house on the Passover and on the Sabbath day. You stay in the house on the Sabbath day. Today is a death day right here. So now you got both of them right there. Now, but how you gonna get out of money that? You can't talk your way out of money. Because, like I said again, you're not going to be talking their way out of money anything. See? So now, what do you do behind that? That's the point we're making. What you do behind that? Is you going to be, when they put them verses on you, where do you go to say, okay, well, that sounds pretty good, but where do you go to deal with that at? See? Now we're going to go a little further. So we got that on the table. We're just going to let that soak in just for a minute. And just for a minute. It's not going to get away before the broadcast over it. But we want to soak that in for the minute because we want to go back to that 12 verse 1 again, something else out of 12 verse 1. And that Acts 12 1. We want to come back to 12 1 again, Elder. We want to get another word out of that 12 verse 1.
Book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 1 reads, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church.
So, you see it? Now, Herod getting ready to vex some of the church. Let's see. Now, next verse going to tell us who is the church. Verse 2.
Number 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword.
So you see, right then and there, he tell you who the church is. It's James and John. They are the members of the church. So now they get the back James and John. So now we got to find out a little bit more on that. So now the church where James and John is considered the church, James and John. You know, sometimes, Elder, when you get a hold of something, you just really don't know just where to go when you're dealing with a good meal. But we just find out that James and John is part of the church. And the first time the word was ever used in the Bible, it is after Yahweh the Son is sitting on the right hand. The first time the word church was ever mentioned in the Bible. We're going to Acts chapter 2 and show you the first time the word was even mentioned about a church. By going to Acts chapter 2. In the time of Acts chapter 2, Yahweh the Son have already done the 1:6, 8-11. Let's see what Yahweh had already did in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And we'll just take it straight on down to verse 11. Let's see what he says in 1:6-11. Just to get kind of warmed up a little bit. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. So Peter going to look him eyeball to eyeball and said something to him, and 1:6 down to verse 11. Let's see the conversation going on before the word church is even introduced. Let's see what warns that the one that saying follow him. Let's see what's going on in 1:6 down to verse 11. What does it say to you?
The book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 6 through 11 reads, Acts chapter 1, verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yet what? Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, he said unto them, Is it not for you to know the times or the seasons, which Yahweh the Father hath put in his own power? Verse 8, you shall receive power, after that the righteous spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, and in Samaria, Israel, northern kingdom, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Verse number 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel. Verse 11, which also said, You men of Israel, Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Yahweh the Son which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Mm-hmm. So now he was taken up. And as he was taken up in Acts chapter 1, guess what? It is no mention of a word called the church. Now he's gone. So he's gone now. So from the point of where we're at right now, all the way back to the left side of the book of Genesis 1:1, is no mention about a church. Now we're going to be introduced to that first time the word is used, the word church. But here's the point. When Yahweh the Son walked the face of the earth, the word was never introduced. He didn't even let them allow them to put it in English while he was here, the word called the church. Now, so now we're going to Acts chapter 2 then and see when the first time this word was introduced into print. We're going to Acts chapter 2 and we're going to pick it up around about verse number, let's see what we want. Let's look at verse 36 to get warmed up. Then we'll skip down to verse number 47. And leaving that old great word in there called the church. So now let's see exactly what's going on that we can read by going to Acts chapter 2 and see what the subject matter is in verse 36. Then we'll skip down to 42 to 47, and let's find out exactly what is you saying that we can catch you red-handed on. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 36, verse 42 through 47 reads, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Therefore let all the family of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh the Son, that Yahweh the Father have made that same Yahweh the Son, whom we have crucified, both Yahweh and Yahweh the Son. Verse number 42, They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayer. Verse 43, And fear came upon every person, and many wonders, signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44, All that believed were together, and had all things common. Verse 45, Sold their possessions and the goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Verse 46, They continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, yet eat their meat with gladness and singleness of mind. Verse 47, Praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. And Yahweh added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Did that see right here? Now that's the first introduction of the word called the church. Now, but who's he talking to? Who's he talking to is the church in verse 36. So who's the church, see, right? Verse 36. This conversation is about verse 36. And what they was doing, and look what he says in 36 down to verse 38. Acts chapter 2, 36 to 38. Listen to this right here. Listen to this. Come on.
Book of Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 38 reads. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore let all the family of Israel know it surely that Yahweh the Father had made that same Yahweh the Son whom you crucified, both Yahweh and Yahweh. Verse number 37. Now they that heard this, they were pricked in their mind, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahweh the Son for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit.
Hmm. And what did he call them in verse 47? And what did he call them? What did the writer call what you just got to? All that good stuff. And what did the writer call the children of Israel in verse 47?
And Yahweh added to the church daily such as should be saved.
You see that, see, Ray? So there it is right there, see, Ray? So when you see that word church, that word is polluted for the children of the book, the children of Israel. So that word Riddell was after Yahweh the Son was already on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. So that word did not even exist. And he done told you plainly, and if you don't deal with this thing, that's up to you. But he done told you in number 15 and 16 something. Let's see what he told you in number 15 and 16. What he tell the children of Israel from the heavenly tablet in Numbers 15 and 16.
The book of Numbers 15, verse number 15, verse 16 reads, Numbers 15, verse 15, for an ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation of Israel, and also for the stranger that sojourn with you, an ordinance forever in your generation, as you are, so shall the strangers be before Yahweh. Verse 16. One Torah instruction and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourn with you.
So now he laying down rules and regulations for the nation of Israel. This is not a nation of Israel. Let me tell you something. At this time, they are United Kingdom, and he laying down rules and regulations for the northern kingdom. He said, as you are, so should a stranger be. So you cannot follow the stranger, not in words and not in deeds. So you cannot follow the strangers. So he's telling you right now, as you are, so should a stranger be. So you got that thing right here? So when you see the word church, you have to not only be, you have to know how to soundly deal with it, but you cannot deal with it based upon the fact of talking, because they're going to ask you, well, wait a minute, the church. But if you don't have nothing to go back and precept your Bible and show you that the word church is pointing toward the children of the book, the children of Israel, the word church. And that next word that we had was this word called, in that 12th chapter, we had another word that sprung up, was called the Jew. We're dealing with four words in that 12th chapter. Four words. We're dealing with four words, and then we're dealing with the word church, and really a total answer in verse 2, but we were dealing with the Jew. So we're dealing with the word church, Jew, all that stuff is there. Now, we're going to find out when the first time that word were brought into existence. So you cannot continue to be a parakeet. You got to be able to, when you say what you're saying, you must have, and that's why we read in that 12th chapter, matter of fact, we really need to read one more time there, Baba Yaga. Let's read that, let's read one more time what he tell us to do, tell them young lions to do. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, this specifically was for the young lions. What he tell the young lions that they must do, huh? And 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13, what do the young lions must do? And they got to be overseen by the elders to make sure you on point, because you're going to be on the clock. And when these things come up, you just can't come out with being a parakeet, because they're going to ask you where you get that from. Now, if you've been a parakeet, you're going to say, well, but if you don't go in and take care of this business, by remember what's written in 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13. What does it say, Elder?
The book of 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, verse 13 reads, book of 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, that no man despise your youth, be you an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in the covenant, in purity. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
Mm-hmm. So you say now, what do you mean by doctrine? Let's go to 4 verse 1 and 2 of Proverbs. What do you mean by that? He said, continue in reading and doctrine. Well, what that supposed to mean? Precept your Bible, the 4th chapter, Proverbs 1 and 2. Let's see what he's trying to tell you. Now, Paul is telling, he's trying to get them young lions ready, because he knows one thing, that the young lions can't be in the same place that he did all the time. They're going to be in a situation where they're going to have to do some damage in grand style. So he said it's clear. So in the 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2, what that word doctrine means that we can read in 4, verse 1 and 2. He said continue in that doctrine. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2, what can we read, J.O.?
Book of Proverbs 4, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads, Proverbs 4, verse number 1, hear you children the instruction of a father, and attend to know, understand it. Verse number 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my Torah instructions.
Yeah. So now you know what he wants you to be reading. He wants you to be reading the Torah instructions. See, that's what he wants you to be reading now. So make sure you're not reading, make sure you reading the Torah instructions. Because your time is going to be on the clock. So make sure that what you're doing, you read the Torah instructions. Just don't be a parakeet. Make sure you read the Torah instruction. You prepare when the time come up. You go right in and take care of business. Now we're going to 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings chapter 15. So like I said again, we go make our move, once we in order. In 2 Kings 15, let's see what we can read out of verse number. Let's get right down to it. 36 and 37. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 15, 37, and 38. What does it say, Elder?
The book of 2 Kings chapter 15, verse number 37, and verse 38 reads, book of 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 37. In those days, Jephthah began to sin against Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, Razin, the king of Syria, Pekah, the son of Remaliah. Verse 38. Joseph slept with his fathers, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Ahaz,
the sun rain in his stead.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in 16, verse 1?
Because 2 Kings 16, verse number 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Yahdah Judah, began to reign.
Mm-hmm. And then what all of a sudden happened to Yahdah Judah in verse number 6? And what all of a sudden that happened that we can read that happened to Yahdah Judah that we can read? Verse 6.
2 Kings 16, verse 6. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there until this day.
Yep. So now there goes your first time the word Jew have came in place. And Jew just knocked out Yahdah Judah. So there it is up there. Right there, you got to not only know that, you just can't stand Jews a polluted word for Judah, and you do not have it in writing. In writing. The first time the word Jew popped up into your English Bible is right there, and that's talking about 16:1. It's talking about Judah. See, the reason you jumped up in there in that 12th chapter and you got the church wrong. You found the church, when I said it was James and whatever the other apostle's name was to follow, that was taking care of the church. The next word was the Jew. So now you see the Jew have been destroyed and showing you in writing where you brought that word in. Remember, we read earlier in the book when the 345, when you took over the congregation of Southern Kingdom, then in verse 48, you paint the likeness of yourself. Then you said in 141, now all of us become one people. And the one people today is what you call United We Stand, Divided We Fall Christians. You see that? So you see that, see, right? That's how you got to trace it back to. And once you became a Christian, that means you contrary to everything that's written in the Bible, because we read in 28 verse 1 of Matthew's at the end of the Sabbath before it started to dawn toward the first day of the week. So we know clearly the end of the Sabbath, and you only got 7 days, is number 7. So as number 7 was closing out, it was going into the first day of the week, which we call a day Sunday. See? So anytime you worshiping him on Sunday, that is contrary to the Bible and that which you call Christianity, which is straight up poison to the children of the book called Israel. Yep. So if you go on, if your Lord wants doing Sunday, that is contrary, is poison. And anytime you drink poison, you can give a rat enough poison, he'll go somewhere and lay down and turn up on his back. And that's what our people have been getting, poison, by worshiping him on the wrong day and calling the place a church. And you find out the church is the children of the book called the children of Israel. So you see? So we threw a little bit of that on the table, but in that 12th chapter, we were dealing with four words. We were dealing with four words. And these four words have to be soundly understood. You got to contend and continue in studying and reading and understanding that these four words is there for you to deal with it. And we just took care of, how many words? We took care of the church, the Jew, and now they gonna now unleavened bread. Now unleavened bread, in the third verse, is the Jew and unleavened bread. They said after unleavened bread, and they said in verse 4, after unleavened bread is Easter. So now we gotta examine that. Easter is, they say, matter of fact, read 12 verse 4 again. What it says in Acts 12, verse 4, there, Acts 12, 4.
The book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 4 reads, when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Mm-hmm. And after Easter, it has to be somewhere around verse 3. What can we read in verse 3 that either after Easter or whatever in verse 3, what can we read? So Easter is tied in with this in verse 3. Easter is tied in somewhere in verse 3. What it says we can read.
Verse number 3, Acts chapter 12, verse 3. Because they saw it pleased Yahdah Judah, polluted word Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm. There was the days of unleavened bread. Now we're going to investigate that. But remember, we're going to investigate it as an investigator, not as a parakeet. We're going to see exactly in 22 of Luke, verse 1. See, remember, he told them young lions to continue in reading and doctrine, and that doctrine you talk about that covenant of Yahweh. That what it was, the Torah instruction. Continue in that. Now let's see, can we read it? Let's read exactly where you see it, and let's see, can we tie this in? Remember, we see unleavened bread in the third chapter, third verse of the 12th chapter. Then we see in the fourth verse, we see Easter. Now, let's see what we can read in Luke 22, verse number 1.
The book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 1 reads, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover.
You hear that? So number one, then, that feast is called the Passover. Now, let's see, can we get down to verse number 7. And let's see, can we get Easter to pop up before the unleavened bread. Let's see what we can get pop up in verse 7. Because now here's the actual going on, and we're going to see what Yahweh called Easter. Verse 7 and 8, because the question is going to be on the table in verse 7 and 8. So when you see the word Easter, let's see what Yahweh said, because a whole lot of conversation will be going on in verse 7, 8, 11, and 12, down to verse number 15, 12 through 15. The 22nd chapter of Luke, verse 7 and 8, and we'll just pick it up at verse number 11, 13 through 15. Luke 22, 7 and 8, 11, 13 through 15. Let's see if we can get out of this. Elder, you on the clock, come up.
The book of Luke chapter 22, verse number 7 and 8, verse number 11, verse number 13 through 15. The book of Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Verse 8. He said, Peter and John said, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Verse number 11. You shall say unto the good man of the house, the master say unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Verse 13. They went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Verse 15. And he said unto them, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
So you see what he's saying? He said, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, when we go back to verse 3 and 4 of the 12th chapter, when we go back to 3 and 4 of the 12th chapter, listen to see, Ray. We're going to read this as plain as day to you, but remember, the young lions have to be able to not be a parakeet. They have to be able to follow the scriptures when you go into that, because they're going to take you right here. So we took at a church. We took at a Jew. Now we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. Now with call with new eyes in verse 3 and 4, but read it like you see it. And now hopefully that you catch it. And that's what we're talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 12, verse what we did read and what we read in verse 4 and 5 or somewhere in that area. Letting you know they're going to go and take you there. And we know right now, and I don't know if it happened. Had they had their Sunday Easter already yet? Is it coming up? Has Sunday Easter come up already?
I have no clue. See, I ain't even looking that way.
The Sunday Easter, you know, you go by, you know, everybody in new clothes and everything, and you take old daddy's suit and get it pressed, and he'll get in that gay suit, and everybody going for Easter, you see? So, you know, the point we're making, they're getting ready to do that. But we are searching, showing you that here this way ain't going to go and hijack yet in verse 3 and 4. So now we'll give you the tools in writing how to let them go there or help them to that, because you're going to hear the words right here when they point at it to you. Verse 3 and verse 4. 3 and 4, what it say?
The book of Acts chapter 12, verse number 3 and 4. Verse number 3 reads, because he saw it pleased Jagdad Judah, polluted the word Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter. Also, the end were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartermains of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Mm-hmm. See, and when you see that word Easter in the Bible, it's only there one time. But then he gave you rules and regulations. When you see a word there only one time, he gave you rules and regulations about what happened in the book of Job. He told you, he gave you rules and regulations. When you see a word in the Bible one time, let's see exactly who behind Easter that we can read. Now, a word in the Bible only one time. Let's see what it says in Job 1, verse 7. What it says, we can read that, Job 1, verse 7.
The book of Job, chapter 1, verse number 7. Yahweh said unto Satan, whence cometh you? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it.
Mm-hmm. So Satan comes to present himself before Yahweh. And he gave Satan, we're not going to read the storyline he got, but we won't know the tools that Satan will be working with. This is what he will be working with in verse 15, the last two lines. What can we read he'll be working with in the last two lines of verse 15?
The book of Job 1, verse 15. And I only am escaped alone to tell you.
Verse 16, last two lines.
And I only am escaped alone to tell you.
Verse 17, last two lines.
And I only escaped alone to tell you.
You see that? So that was Satan going to be working with me right here. So when you go and read that 12, verse 4, and see the word Easter in the Bible, that one time that Satan, he gave Satan the big, but he knew that you knew how to go and read Issachar's book. If you see the word there only one time, Easter, in the book, you know it's polluted for Satan the devil, for he's the I only. Only Satan have that word to work with one time, so that I only. Satan dropped that word in the Bible one time. And guess what? The children of Israel are going to spend billions of dollars for the pagan, I only, and worship Satan the devil, and that's what we mean by Christianity. Christianity is a worshiper of Satan the devil. It's contrary to the Bible. If you do Easter, that's contrary to, because it is the Passover. The Passover, and after Passover, is unleavened bread. Easter and unleavened bread do not go together. Because we read in the 23rd chapter, verse 4, exactly how, the order of things by going to Leviticus 23. Remember one thing, you can't be a parakeet now. If you can't go in your scriptures and do the business, then shame on you, especially the 609 account. You got to go in the Bible and do business. Don't talk a good game. Read a good game. In the 23rd chapter, it tells us exactly what he says in 4 down to verse 6. Matter of fact, read 1 and see who's talking. In the 23rd chapter, verse 1, 4 down to verse 6. And we're going to see the order of things. What the order say?
The book of Leviticus 23, verse number 1. Verse number 4 through 6 reads, Book of Leviticus 23, verse 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 4, these are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous assemblies, which you shall proclaim in their season. Verse 15, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 16, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
You see that? So after unleavened bread, or before unleavened bread, is Passover. It have nothing to do with Easter. You have to pronounce sentence on the word Easter as polluted Passover, Mr. Christian. That is polluted for the Passover. But if you do not have the scriptures to go in there and get busy, I mean having the right frame of mind to go in the Bible and pull up the scriptures, then let it alone. And that's why it says plainly in 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 13, Paul had to take Titus and Timothy, them young lions, and get them prepared of a big journey. And that same thing we got to do is make sure the young lions understand that they're going to be the one that's doing the heavy legwork. And the elders got to make sure you get them the proper tools to not only know that it's a polluted word, but how to go in the Bible, soundly put on your case, because all you're going to have with you when you step out here is the 11th chapter that we can read in verse number 10. Now, when you step out here, remember, you're going to step out here according to the rules and regulations. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to find out, we're going to read down until we get the rules and regulations. You can't go past the rules and regulations. Let's see what the rules and regulation is in Luke 10, verse 1. Let's see what it say there, Elf.
The book of Luke, chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse number 1. After these things, Yahweh appointed other 70 also, sent them two and two before his face to every city and place where he himself would come.
Yes, right there. Now, so you see how you got the role. He said, now, I want you to go out there. He took the 70 and said, now 70, you get you a reader, and then you make your move. So all that Bible, oh, no, it don't work like that. If you're going to do Bible, you're going to read Bible. When our time appointed come, how are we going to cover this globe? According to what Yahweh just said. He said, now let's precept that into the 18th chapter. Verse 19 of Matthew. We get a precept on that. So Yahweh is telling you plainly how you got to do it. So that means one thing about it. You have to have a strong, you got to be strong in the word of Yahweh, and your reader got to be just as strong as you are to be able to deal with all of it. And Yahweh said, and now if that's on the table, let's see what Yahweh says that we can read in 18 verse 19 of Matthew. See, I'm telling you something. You want Yahweh to come in, he going to recognize you through by doing the Bible. The Bible. This is a big world. And once we in order, we got to send two by two. That means the one that the moderator and the big time reader have to be on one accord. And then Yahweh says what in 18:19? What he said we can read?
Book of Matthew 18, verse number 19 reads, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
My brother Yahdah, help Yahdah Israel, lead you out of camp one. Now, when it's time to get them young lions together, how many foes to be sent, where they got to go, that we can read in verse 19?
By two.
And what did Yahweh say he going to do when the two is by two? What did he say he going to do?
"Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
But he said, see, right here. See, that's why I said we must come now, but we got to get in order. So we got to see signs of the two prepared to maybe two, one, if it's two of the lions, then one read a little bit and give a little rest, the other read a little bit and give a little rest, the other expound on it. But that's all he wants you to do. Step out there, wherever you got to go, two. Wherever you got to go, two. Huh? And that's why sometimes it tells you, even in a relationship, let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Even in a relationship, Luke chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, what can we read?
The book of Luke chapter 1, verse 4, verse number 5 reads, Luke chapter 1. Verse number 4, "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Verse 5, "It was in the days of Herod, the king of Yahdah and Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the courts of Abiah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth."
Five.
Number 6, verse
yes,
6.
Five. Okay, 6.
Verse 6, "And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the Torah instructions of Yahweh blameless."
Both. So both. So when you understand the rules and regulations, both. To make this thing work, you might have to tell the better half, "Come on, I'm going over here and I'm going to take care of a little business in Dusay Yahweh." And so she got to be ready to go there. And what you want me to do? What did you supposed to do? We'll do some powerful reading. Hold it right back in your throat and let it go. Because as long as we know that, we up on the will of Yahweh. We own something. Both got to be righteous. So one thing about it, see, Ray, if you plan on having a better head, being with a better head, understand, and you want the protection of Yahweh, understand one thing. Both of you have to be on one accord according to the Bible. And then when you step out there to deal with this world to be two by two, and Yahweh said, "You're going to do what I tell you to do, and then I will step in," because one thing he ain't going to break is his word. He's not going to break his word, Steve Reagan. And that's the game changer right there. So two, got to be prepared. All right. Let's see if we bring in one of them young lions in. and let him get it a little beat wet a little bit. We'll see if we bring in the young line out of Camp One, Brother Micaiah, and see if we get a few verses down on Taylor by the young line. Now, what don't happen? Y'all, all these memos them just jumped all up on this thing. So let me see what's going on with this. Now let me see what'll happen. Now I see what'll happen, you know. I see what'll happen. No doubt about it, what'll happen. So now let's see if we get the young line on. We've seen exactly what's going on. Let me see. So we meet the young lion out of Camp One, Brother Micaiah, with a loud voice. He said, Brother Micaiah, Israel, up and coming teacher out of Camp One. Yahweh be there, see ready.
Yahweh bless you, say Israel. See Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, very interesting. So we are taking care of a lot of things because we know that the world's Easter coming up is really polluted for the Passover coming up. And so we're clear about that, young lion. We're clear about that. But one thing we want to do is find out something that they have said and done that we can read, and we're going to trace their steps back to 1 Maccabees 3:45 just for a minute. I'm trace they step back to 1 Maccabees 3:45 again. Help me out in this verse right here of 3:45, the first book of Maccabees. Help me out there, young lion. What it says in 3:45 in the book of Maccabees?
The book of Maccabees. 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verses 45. Verse 45 reads, Now Jerusalem, a polluted word for Yada, lay void as a wilderness. There was none of her children that went in or out. The temple also was trodden down, and aliens kept the stronghold. The heathen, the nation, had their inhabitations in that place, and joy was taken from Israel in a pipe with a heartbeat.
That's good enough, but come back to the top of that, and who was where? Can you come back to that verse 3:45, and who was where again? Let's see who was where that we can read in Maccabees 3:45. And where was they?
In the book of the 1 Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 45. Now Jerusalem, polluted word, Yada, lay void as a wilderness. There was none of her children.
Stop it down. So who was just in the wilderness again that we can read in 3:45?
Yada.
Uh-huh. So he was in the wilderness, huh? Now let's fast forward that to the 7th chapter. Look at verse 22 of Acts. Fast forward that young lion to 7:22. Of the book of 7:23 of the book of Acts.
Okay, going to the book of Acts, reading chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Verse 22 reads, And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, polluted word, Nazarene, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23, And when he was 40 years old, it came into his mind to visit his brethren, the children of Israel.
Who is his brothers?
The children of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Hold that point before we get to 38. Let's run to the book of Hebrew, polluted title called Hebrew.
Yeah.
His brother is what's their name again?
All right, mother.
The children of Israel.
Okay. And let's see what's another name for them, the children of Israel. Let's see if we can get another name for the children of Israel. Let's see if we can get another name that we can read. So now, if you don't want to call them by that name, then they got another name you can call them, you know, that we can read. There's another name you can call the children of Israel that we can read in the verse chapter 11. There's another name you can call the children of Israel that we can read.
Amazing.
And 24 and 25.
Damn,
it's another name you can call the children of Israel in verse number 11, verse 24 and 25 of the book of Hebrew. Mm-hmm. But try to call Hebrew. You know they got another name you can call them. You can call them this if you want to. 11, 24 and 25.
Okay. The book of Hebrews, polluted word for the book of Eva. Picking up at chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 reads, by faith, the covenant, Moses, when he was come to years, believed to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahuwah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a reason, for a season.
All right, young lion. So what is another name you can call? What were they called a minute ago? They was called
the children of Israel.
They was called children of Israel, right? What's another name you can call children of Israel that we can read?
Verse 25, the people of Yahuwah.
That's right. So, is right there. That's what you can call the people of the book. That's another name you can call them. So now, if you don't want to call, so there go your name, but you don't call them the pagan name. See, they got to be clear. Here's the name. Use the children of Israel, and the children of Israel also have another name. What's the name they call?
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 25. Reading there, the people of Yahuwah.
Now, look what the Latter-day Saints got on network saying, Fear, can you give me a second witness? Give me a second witness. Go to St. John chapter 11 there, young man.
Yeah,
St. John chapter 11. You want a second witness there, Latter-day Saints? WCC, y'all want a second witness on that? We can give you a second witness by going to St. John chapter 11, you give me a second witness. If you can give you a second witness in the 11th chapter, let's see, the 11th chapter, let's see if we get them a second witness, and we'll skip down to verse number 15 and let's get a second witness.
Yeah,
see what we read.
It was this morning.
Chapter 11. Yeah. Chapter 11, verse number 50 and 51. Now, tell you what, just make it 50 to 52. Let's pull it out in grand style. St. John chapter 11. Verse 50 down to verse 52. What does it say that we can read?
The book of St. John, chapter 11, verse 50 down to 52. Verse 50 reads, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yahuwah the Son should die for that nation. Verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yahuwah that were scattered abroad.
The children of Yahuwah that were what?
Scattered abroad.
You see that, see, right? So really, there go your name, you call them. The children of Yahuwah, they were scattered, and the one that was scattered, let's go to James 1:1 and see what did they name that was scattered. See, you got to, you can't just not just parakeet this. You have to continue in reading, and be able to deal with this thing, because the one that the children of Yahweh is the one that was scattered, and James 1:1 would tell us something about the ones that were scattered. What does James 1:1 tell us that we can read?
The book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. First one reads, James, a servant of Yahweh and of Yahweh the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Yahweh be with you.
Right. The 12 tribes is the one that was scattered, and the 12 tribes have a name in End Time Prophecy in the 21st chapter. The 12 tribes have a name, too. Let's go to the 21st chapter, that young lion. We're going to Revelation 21, and we'll pick up verse 10. We'll read down and find out what is another name for the 12 tribes that's scattered that we can read in Revelation 21. Pick up verse 10. We'll read down until we get our point.
Okay. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, picking up at verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, that righteous Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, descending out of heaven from Yahweh, from Yahweh. Verse 11, having the honor of Yahweh, her light was like unto a stone more precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 ministering spirits, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
You see that? See right? So that's it. So that's it. So the 12 tribes of Israel is the people's, the children of Yahweh, the children of Yahweh that scattered. So you're only talking about one people that scattered, children of Israel. And see, that's the point that we're going to have to hit the scene two by two and to enlighten the children of Israel, because according to the Bible, they are the peoples of Yahweh. Not only the peoples of Yahweh, they also another thing of Yahweh in the 28th chapter of First Chronicles. They go by another name, but all of it reflects back to the same name in First Chronicles 28. It's called something that we can read in First Chronicles 28. And matter of fact, I want to pull a rabbit out of head and read verse 4 to get warmed up. They're going to say something about these people. And it lined up real good with the Bible in the 28th chapter. It lines up real good in verse 4 and verse 5. Look what it says in verse 4 and 5 that we can read. Verse 4 and verse 5. Listen to what he says here in verse 4 and verse 5.
Okay. The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 reads, Habib, Yahweh of Israel, choose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Yada, polluted word Judah, to be the ruler. End of the house of Yada, polluted word Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. Verse 5, and of all my sons, for Yahweh hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this place called again? What is it called in the last two lines?
The throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel.
The king, see that thing right here. Do you understand something? So when you read 1 verse 6 of Acts, read one more time. So when you read when Peter asked a question, he was reflecting back to verse number 4. When Peter said in 1 verse 6, and you tie in the 28th chapter, verse number 5, you own something. You really own something if you connect the books, what it says in 1 verse 6. So Peter knew what he was talking about. What did he say?
The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, when they therefore will come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Now, come back to 28, verse 4. Would you restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, come back and read verse 5 again. Now, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom to Israel? What that falls to mean, precept in 28, verse 5.
Okay. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, we'll read verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and all my sons, for Yahweh have given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh over Israel.
See, Roy, your kingdom is not up and away. Your kingdom is right here that you lost by violence, and we're not getting off into it. You lost your kingdom over there in Luke. As a matter of fact, we'll show you when you lost your kingdom. We're going to run back up to the elder. We're going to run back and find out exactly when did you lose your kingdom. I see the elder is, he did entertain real good as we speak right now. So let's run back and find out exactly when did you lose your kingdom. Well, then we can read, when did you lose your kingdom? And how did you lose your kingdom? And what happened? Do it tell us anything about it around, it tells us something that you lost your kingdom in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, round by verse number 10 through 12. How did you lose your kingdom that we can read in Matthew chapter 11, 10 through 12? How did you lose your kingdom that we can read, young lion?
The book of Matthew, chapter 11, reading verse 10 and reading verse 12. Verse 10 reads.
Well, 10, 11, and 12. Well, you're going to read 10, 11. You're going to make it sound good, 10, 11, and 12. We want to know, when did you lose your kingdom? When did you lose your kingdom? Let's see, and what happened that we can read?
The book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 10 down to 12. 10 reads. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. Verse 11, truly I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force.
And the violence taking your kingdom. Because now you read in the 28th chapter, you had a kingdom. You had a kingdom in 28th chapter. You had one. But you lost it by violence, see, right? You know that the violence didn't happen up in the way. The kingdom that Israel had, we just got reading 28 verse 4 of the 28 verse 5. And now read verse 8. And you was in the kingdom and you was called by a name. When you was in the kingdom, you was called by a name. Go back to 128 chapter. And we'll bring our elder in. We'll come on first out and get the show to say we can wrap back. So going to Book Chronicles 28. We're going to verse Chronicles 28. Look right down at verse number 28. And let's see what we want. We want to find out. So now we know you had a kingdom. You lost the kingdom. But I want to know, when you was in that kingdom, what was you called in that kingdom? And
28 verse 8. The 28th chapter,
read verse 8, and let's see exactly what was you called in that kingdom. Matter of fact, read 7, make it sound good. 7 and verse 8. Let's find out something. When you was in that kingdom of Yahweh over Israel, what was going on in verse 7 and 8 that we can read?
Okay, the book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my Torah instructions and my Torah instructions as this day," verse 8, "all the congregation of the children of Israel, of Yahuwah, and in the audience of our Yahuwah, keep and seek for all the Torah instructions of Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, that you may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever."
What is their name in verse 8? What is their full name again? See, when you had your kingdom, you had a full name. What was your full name? We can read in verse 8.
"The congregation of Yahuwah."
Verse 8, "and now therefore in the sight of all Israel." And who was them? The congregation of Yahuwah. So, but we know all Israel have split into two kingdoms, and right now, so that means a big job that got to be done for the children of Israel, because they have lost their thing by violence. And we'll bring in our elder and get one more verse in, and we'll close the statement on the elder, and we'll run the young line all the way in. Let's see. Come on back to elder.
Yes.
Let's go to Luke chapter 20. I see the WCC is playing around with the microphones. You know, but like I said, Dad, we knew this day was gonna come anyway. So let's see, can we come back to Ed one more time and get a closing statement out of Ed, and then we'll come back to the young line. But didn't teach out of cap one. What you close the statement is during the clock come out. We're gonna mute the elder. Okay. You use that mute button pretty good, don't you? All right, young lion. We're gonna come back to 20. What I say? What verse did I say again? In Luke chapter what? Can you recall?
Luke chapter 20.
Mm-hmm. Let's run to Luke chapter 20. Let's see what I want to pick up on, because I want to bring who taking your kingdom from you, that we can read. Pick up verse 21 and pick up at verse number and tell us what we got to do in verse 19 to 24. Let's look at 19 and 24. Now, remember, you had a kingdom. Your kingdom is not up and away. It was a kingdom of Yahweh on the earth. But you lost it by violence. Now, who taking your kingdom by violence? Now, matter of fact, I might as well put a little history with that. and Timbuktu, the Bible, on page 84. Let's see if we find out who did what. You know, he even talks about it in the history book there, young line. In the history book, it talks about that on page 84. Let's see who did what that we can read in the Babylon of Timbuktu on page 84. We're going to pick it up where it says in the year of 65 B.C. We're going to read down a couple of lines and see what we can get. Let's see what we can get. And on page 84 from Babylon of Timbuktu, the young lion pick it up around about in the year of 65, what happened? Come on.
Okay. Go ahead, page 84. Pick it up in the year 65, right?
Yeah, in the year of 65 B.C. What happened in the year of 65 B.C.?
Okay, going to Babylon to Timbuktu. Randall R. Winsor, page 84. In the year, second paragraph, in the year 65 B.C., Roman armies under General Poppy captured Jerusalem, through the word for Yada. In 70 A.D., General Vespasian and his son Titus put an end to the Jewish, through the word Yada, state with great slaughter. During the period of the military governors of Palestine, many outrages were committed against the residue of the people. During the period from Pompey to Julius, it has been estimated that over 1 million Jews, salute the word for Yada, fled into Africa, fleeing from Roman prosecution and slavery. The slave markets were full of black Jewish, salute the word for Yada, slaves.
Next line.
Okay. You want me to go to read the scripture, Deuteronomy 28:54?
And Yahweh said, do what?
Okay. And Yahweh said, scatter you among all people from the end of the earth, even unto the other. And there you shall serve false Yahweh, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone.
Now back up to 11:11. Back up to Isaiah 11:11 on that. 11. Let's see who we going to scatter among all nations in book of Isaiah 11, verse 11. Who is he talking about going to be scattered to all nations? 11, verse 11.
Okay. Book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, his hand, again, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which should be left from Assyria and from Egypt, salute the word from Mazarin, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Edom, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Verse 12. And he shall set up the ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, the northern kings, 10 northern tribes, and gather together the dispersed of Yada, salute the word Judah, from the four corners of the earth.
Is that it? So there you go right there. Now we go on and read it over here in the 21st chapter, verse 19, down to verse 25. So we know the Romans did it. So the Romans is going to be this name, this Gentile will be the Romans right here. So we clear, the recorded history is that the children of Yahdah, Judah, will be an every nation upon the sun. And we know they lost their heavens through violence, which was Yahweh's land. So you lost it by violence, and you're not going to get it back until you come one accord with the proper understanding of some dust says Yahweh. We got that clearly. Now, we're going back to 21, verse 19, out of verse 24, and see what it says. What it says we can read in the 19th chapter, verse 21 to 24. And the Gentile we're talking about in this case will be Esau and his five sons, the Romans. Come on.
Okay. The book of Luke,
chapter 19, verse 21, verse 21, read.
No, 21, 19 to 24.
Going to Luke, chapter 21, verse 19 down to 24. Verse 19, read. In your patience possess ye your soul, your person. Verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada Judah, compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is now. Verse 21. Then let them which are in Yada, polluted word Judah, flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out, are in the country, enter thereinto. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Yada, polluted word Judah, shall be trodden down by Esau and his five sons until the times of Esau and his five sons be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. So the Gentiles, in this case, it will be Esau and his five sons. So that's how you lost your kingdom. And that's who got your land right now. The Gentiles is over there now. Is Esau and his five sons. That's the one in your land right now. That is the true record of the one that's in your land right now, the Gentiles. Now, I want to come back because we read two statements on the table. We told on Passover Day, when they first instituted the Passover, we told them to stay in your house and don't you come out. If you come out, you're going to die along with the Egyptians. Then we read about the Sabbath day. That you're going to keep the Sabbath day, you're going to keep it without congregating in your house. But I wonder why. Why do you have to do all that anyway that we can read? See, remember one thing, Yahweh got a step process. That's why we got to be able to teach the Bible as it unfolds itself of the step. You know, when you're not, let me show you something. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 30. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 30. Let me show you something. The reason why a certain thing had to happen, because we're going to read why in the 30th chapter, pick up verse 1. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. Because one thing about it, pick it down to verse 5. 31 through 5. 31 down to verse 5, what it say? That's what we can read. 2 Chronicles 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Young Lion, come on.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Yada, polluted word Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim, king northern tribe, polluted word for Yada, to keep the Passover unto Yahweh of Israel. Verse 2, for the king had taken counsel in his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, to keep the Passover in the second month. Verse 3, for they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada. Verse 4, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. Verse 5, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yahweh of Israel at Yada, polluted word Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written.
So they didn't do the Passover. What kind of way they didn't do the Passover there, y'all?
in the book of Second Chronicles.
In that last verse, they
didn't pass what kind of way? Verse 5, the last one says, for they had not done it in of a long time in such sort as it was written.
As it was written. So you do the Passover as it is written. So that's how the Passover goes. The Passover, otherwise it wasn't in order to do the Passover. What kind of way again, young Ryan?
As it was written.
As it was written. So that's how you keep the Passover scene right here. All you got to do is know that you keep the Passover what kind of way as it is written. That's all we got to remember. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. You keep the Passover one way as it is written. Luke chapter 2, 41, 42 says what?
The book of Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. 41 reads, now his parents went to Jerusalem, polluted where Yah died every year at the feast of the Passover. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, polluted where Yah died after the custom of the feast.
You see that? So when they jumped out and read where the fact of the matter is, and when they institute the Passover, it was no order in the Passover. So he told them, it ain't no order, so you stay in your house and do the Passover. If I catch you outside, when I give it a kilo ham, I'm going to kill you too. See, Yahuwah is an order, Yahuwah. That's why he told them over there in that 12th chapter, stay in on the Passover. Don't gather, because I'm going to do a little killing that night. And then he told them on the Sabbath day, don't come out your house on the Sabbath day. Again, the reason he told you don't come out your house on the Sabbath day, the same thing. You wasn't in order. So when they jump down and read these verses about where I keep the Sabbath day, sitting behind the curtain, and I don't do nothing on Sabbath day but sit on the couch and listen to Boys Over to Israelite or whatever. No, you're out of order. Because remember, the son, the parents, came all the way from Galilee, and they went up to the feast day. Is that what we're reading? Let's see, did Paul do anything different than what he did in the 18th chapter, verse 19 through 21? Listen. You can't hide behind no cloaks in it anymore. You gonna have to do Bible, or you just a ticking time bomb on yourself. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, 19 through 21, says what?
The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 19 to 21, through 21. Verse 19 reads, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself and reasoned with Yada, polluted word Jew. Verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that come in Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada. But I will return again unto you, if Yahuwah will. And he sailed from Ephesus.
You see that? So look what he did. So there's Paul on a journey. He said, look, I got to go now because there's a feast coming up. That means I got to go, but after the feast day, I will return. Let's go to St. John chapter 7. We're going to St. John chapter 7 and look at verse 14 down to verse 17. St. John chapter 7. See, one thing about it, you know, by the bosses of the true Israelite, word wholesome, everybody get out of order because they lean on their own understanding and they get hoodwinked about think the Sabbath day, the feast day, you can do this not according to what's written in the Bible. But Paul said, I got to make sure I get on down the road to get there and bump some shoulders. That's what Paul just said to the Ephesians. That, and matter of fact, Ephesians he was talking to, hold that point. Let's go to Ephesians 1:1. Let's see who was he talking to. Let's see who was he talking to, the white man or the white woman. Let's read 1:1 of Ephesians. Who was Paul saying, I gotta make my move and get on down back to the sixth anointing camp for this big feast coming up? Let's see who was he talking to that we can read in Ephesians 1:1.
Okay. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, apostle of Yahuwah the Son, by the will of Yahuwah. 2, the saints, the family of Israel, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Yahuwah the Son.
Mm-hmm. And what can we precept that these saints is the children of Israel? 148, verse 14. Now let's precept that. Let's precept these saints that he was telling, I got to get on down and I got to get on down and take care of this business because the feast coming up. Who are these saints that we can read in 148, 14 of the book of Psalms? Let's see who these saints
book of
is.
Psalms.
Go ahead.
The book of Psalms, 48, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praises of all his saints, even of the family of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise you, Yahuwah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. So the saints is the family of Israel. So that's mm-hmm. the saints. 149, verse 1. Same book. Psalm 149, verse 1.
The book of Psalms, 149, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, praise you, Yahuwah. Sing unto Yahuwah a new song. And his praises is, his praises in the congregation.
You see that? So now we're clear about these saints. Now let's go to St. John. So when Paul was talking to him, so Paul was over there in Ephesus with the Ephesians, and the Ephesians was the one that was saints that wanted to really get back to the real deal, but they was the children of Israel that was scattered in Ephesus of the, that was called the Ephesians. So that was Paul was letting them know it's a feast time coming up and let's get busy on this feast day. In St. John chapter 7, verse 14 down to verse 17 says what?
The book of St. John chapter 7, verse 14 down to 17. Verse 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahuwah is polluted word for Yahdah Judah. Marvel saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? Verse 16, Yahuwah the Son answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be, or whether know of the teaching, whether it be of Yahuwah or whether I speak of myself.
Mm-hmm. What happened in verse 14 again?
The book of John, chapter 7, verse 14. 14 reads, now about the midst of the feast, Yahuwah the Son went up into the temple and taught.
About the midst of the feast, he went up to the, otherwise, when it come down to the feast days, he went up to the six anointing camps, he got in where he fit in at. That's what he did. He got up and he started teaching. That's what he was doing on the feast day. Paul was doing the same thing on the feast day. But you say, well, I can just sit there with me and my family, and we just can keep the Sabbath day and feast days. But you're doing your own thing. Matter of fact, you're doing the Proverbs 3, 1 through 5. Now, what you're doing is a Proverbs 3, 1 down to verse 5. What you doing? Then we can read that young line.
Proverbs chapter 3. You said verses 1 down to 5, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1 down to 5, verse 1 reads, my son, my daughter, forget not my Torah instruction, but let your mind keep my Torah instruction. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your mind. Verse 4, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahuwah and man. Verse 5, trust in Yahuwah with all your mind and lean not into your own understanding.
Mm-hmm. So he tell you, don't do your own understanding. When you jump down and read what he told them, sit still, because reading will tell you sit still until order is in order. Now, once it's in order, you got to make your move according to the seventh chapter. Look what it says in the book of Numbers 7, verse 1. Let's read what happened when he told them on the Sabbath day, y'all sit still, don't make no move. You know why? Because we can go to Numbers 7, verse 1 and find out why. Let's read 7, verse 1.
The book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the temple and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and of the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them.
Go ahead.
Did you say Numbers chapter 7, verse 11?
No, verse 1. Pick up verse 1.
Okay. Verse 2.
Yeah, 2.
Read verse 1 again.
Now, you read verse 1 in grand style. Oh, great. Read verse 2.
Princes of Israel, heads of the family of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered. Offering. Verse 3. And they brought their offering before Yahuwah, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the temple. Verse 4. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses.
Hold it right there. Now, where was all this going on in verse 7, verse 1? Now, the heads of all 12 tribes, where did they come do all this great stuff at according to verse 1?
The book of Numbers chapter 7, verse 1 reads, and it came to pass on that day, on the day that Moses had fully set up the temple.
Moses had done what? What did Moses
do? Fully set up the temple.
That means it was in order. So once Moses had fully set up the temple in order, then what happened next that we can read in verses 11 and 12? So now once it's in order, what happened next that we can read in verses 11 and 12?
Okay, the book of Numbers. Chapter 7, verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 reads, and Yahuwah said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. Verse 12, and he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amadab, of the tribe of Yada, polluted word Judah.
Yeah, so Yahuwah, Judah, have to step up to the plate and do it the way it's written. So once the temple was fully put together, then it was ordered, then it was time to take care of Yahuwah's business. Now, what did Yahuwah think about that? What did Yahuwah think about that that we can read in the book of Exodus 29. Let's see what we can read what happened in verse number 42 down to verse 46. Let's see what we can read now. Once everything is in order, let's see what Yahuwah got to say now after he's watching everything real carefully. In the book of Exodus chapter 29, verse 42 down to verse 46, what happened next?
The book of Exodus chapter 29, verses 42 down to 46. 42 reads, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the temple. of the congregation before Yahuwah. Where I will meet you. I will meet you, meet with the family of Israel, and the temple shall be sanctified by my grace. Verse 44. And I will sanctify the temple of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. 45. And I will dwell among the family of Israel and will be their Yahuwah. Verse 46. And they shall know that I am Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. A polluted word for Mazarin, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahuwah, their Yahuwah.
Back up to 35 and look at verse 29. Exodus 35:29. Let's see what else was going on that we can read. Exodus 35:29.
Okay, the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 29 reads, the family of Israel brought a willing offer unto Yahuwah, every man and one, whose mind made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which Yahuwah had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
Uh-huh. And who took the lead in verse 30 and 31 on all this? Verse 30 and 31.
Yeah, the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 reads, and Moses said unto the family of Israel, see, Yahuwah hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Yada, polluted word Judah. Verse 31. And he hath filled him with the spirit of Yahuwah in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship.
Who did Yahuwah bless to do this kind of business? In verse number 30, the last line in 30.
Verse 30, of the tribe of Yada.
I hate that sound. You see that? What is said that we can read in verse number 21?
21, the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verse 21. 21 reads, and they came, everyone whose mind stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahuwah's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, the temple of the congregation, and for all his servants, and for the righteous garments.
What were they wearing again?
Righteous garments.
Ain't that something? Then what they do next in verse 20? And what happened next?
All right, verse 20. Children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
How much was they? How much?
All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Ain't that something? Let's fast forward on the right side of the book on the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 42. Let's fast forward all the way to Acts, chapter 13. See, one thing about it, once you're in order, that's when Yahuwah kick in. So Yahuwah ain't told you to sit there and think you got nothing coming unless you're in order in Yahuwah. You got to follow Yahuwah's word. Shoot the children of Israel lay still until the order got in place. And once the order get in place, the one he going to stir up is going to break out running. So if you don't, so that means if you don't break out running, that means he didn't stir you up. That's all that's saying. So now what we're going in Acts chapter 13, see, we know when you're ready because you be stirred up to get busy in Yahuwah, because Yahuwah got a time, and matter of fact, we might read what kind of man he is in a minute in the book of 1 Samuel. We probably read what kind of man he is after we read some of this right here first. Now, Apostle Shorty, in the 13th chapter that we can read, he was on something that we can read, and he was on something. And verse number, Acts 13, Let's pick it up at verse 14 and 15. Let's see what's going on that we can read in Acts chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Let's see what we can read. And then we'll skip down to verse number 44. Let's see what this sounds like. Acts chapter 13, verse 14, 15, and 44. Young Lion, Bug McKay, you on the clock, come on.
The book of Acts chapter 13, verse 14, 15, and 44. Verse 14 reads, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and went into the temple on the Sabbath day and sat down. Verse 15, and after the reading of the Torah instruction, and the elders, the rulers of the temple, sent unto them, saying, you men and brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, stay on. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahuwah.
You mean on a Sabbath day you supposed to leave your house and gather yourself? Zephaniah 2:1. You mean you gotta have, you supposed to have you a Zephaniah 2:1 on a Sabbath day? What can we read in Zephaniah 2:1? You supposed to do what?
Okay, going to the book, Zephaniah, chapter 2. We're picking up at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O nation, not desire.
Oh, yeah, gather well, according to David in 73, verse 17. Where are you supposed to gather it on the Sabbath day and feast day, according to Psalm 73, verse 17.
They're going to the book of Psalms, picking up in chapter 73, verse 17. 17 reads, until I went unto the temple of Yahuwah, then understood I therein.
Oh, so you got to gather. Where you got to gather at all, young lion, to understand this book?
In the temple of Yahuwah.
Case in point, St. John chapter 5, verse 14. Case in point. St. John 5:14.
Okay, the book of St. John 14 reads, afterwards, Yahuwah the Son finding him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you.
Did he say it? But what did Yahuwah find him at?
The temple.
That where he found him at. On feast days and Sabbath days, when Yahuwah find you, and that he said, that's where I will meet you at. Let's go to Psalm 111, verse 10. What did it say? 111, verse 10.
Okay, going to the book of Psalms. Picking up at chapter 111. Reading verse 10. Verse 10 reads, the fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction. His praise is correct.
So how do you get a good understanding there, young lion? How do you get a good understanding?
A good understanding when you do the fear of Yahuwah.
And
doing the Torah instruction.
Oh, you get a good understanding when you keep the Torah and do the Torah instructions. That's when your understanding will let you know that on feast days, you get in to the six anointed camps. On the Sabbath day, you get in where the six anointed camps at. You don't sit there and say, well, I got it going on my couch. No, you're doing your own thing, and you'll get reward of doing your own thing at a time upon it. Now, let's see what he says. Now, his son got a shot in that in the wisdom of Solomon, 6:18. Now, this is the wisest man in the world. He got him a little shot in it on this conversation. Let's see what he says in the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 18. What do you say that we can read?
Okay, the book of the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 18. 18 reads, and love is the keeping of her Torah, and the giving heed unto her Torah instructions is the assurance of incorruption.
It's assurance of not being incorrupted by keeping the Torah instructions. And now in the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, what it say?
Okay. Going to the regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, picking up at verse 13, you say verse 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, 13 reads, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahuwah and keep his Torah instructions. For this is the whole duty of man, every work in his judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
So Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, 8, what did Paul say? What did Paul say when he found some Israelites scattered? What did he say that we can read in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8? What did Paul say that we can read?
Okay, the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 reads, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Yahuwah the Son, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 8, for let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Hmm. So Paul says to be a new lump, you got to keep the feast of Passover. You got to keep the feast, keep them Sabbath days to be a new lump. As always, you'll be a new lump. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, 3 down to verse 5 says what? 1 John, right side of the book, chapter 5, 3, 4, and 5 says what?
You say 1 John?
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5.
3, 4, and 5 says what?
3 reads, for this is love of Yahuwah, that we keep his Torah instructions, and his Torah instructions are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of Yahuwah overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith, belief. Verse 5, who is he that overcome the world? But he that believes that Yahuwah the Son is the Son of Yahuwah the Father.
Mm-hmm. And 1 John 2, 6 says what?
Okay. 1 John chapter 2. He that said he abided in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying if you abide in him, you got to walk like he walked. And how did he walk in 4, 16, and 17 of Luke? Well, how is his walk? What can we read about his walk? He said, now you're going to abide in him, you're going to walk the way he walked. Luke chapter 4, 16 and 17, come on.
Okay, going to the book of Luke chapter 4. Picking up at verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 reads, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the seer Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Mm-hmm. And what he said in verse 20 and 21, what he said in verse 20 and 21?
The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. Verse 20 reads, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the temple were fastened on him. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, this day, this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Uh-huh. And what happened in verse 30? And what happened next that we can read? 30 and 31.
Okay, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 reads, but he passing through the midst of them went his way, Verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day.
You see that? See, right. I mean, if you're going to follow this man, that means you have to get into them 690 camps. Because we keep the name and the Sabbath day. It's up to you. We keep the feast days. And he said, you're only going to bless the place that got his name at. The name is the four letters, YHWH. We're going to stop it like that. The young lion and the elder stepped up in grand style and grand style. The lead teacher out of Cap 1 and the young lion wrapped it up in grand style. So it's only right to get a closing statement out of the young lion, Brother Micaiah, and take your time. The world is listening. Come on.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. I want to thank Yahuwah for another blessed day to read his word. I thank Yahuwah for allowing me to meet the field so Yahuwah can use the field to teach us his word. Thank Yahuwah for my wife and children. Thank Yahuwah for the elders, the mothers. Thank Yahuwah for the teachers and all the brothers and sisters at BOTTY. I want to read the book of Psalms, chapter 112. It reads, verse 1, praise you, Yahuwah, hallelujah, Yahuwah. Blessed is the man that fear Yahuwah, that delighted greatly in his Torah instruction. Verse 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteousness. Verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Excellent. That's a young line out of Cap 1, up and coming teaching. My fact, read me one verse before we get off the network in Second Chronicles